Well, Evening Conversations is a very special piece for me. It's come about really gently over the last few years, and it's inspired by my sons. So, the sort of strap line is, middle class, middle-aged mother, multicultural mother of millennial sons, looks at her squeezed middle life in Wimbledon. And in a way, that's what it is. And it's basically because I have I have two boys. And I've always found our banter, our talks, whether they're jovial or whether they're serious, like really interesting. And I, as a writer, actor, I'm a bit of a magpie. So I will overhear and go, oh, no, that's really great dialogue. I'll take that sort of thing. So, my children are quite used to me magpieing, their views. And this time around, my older son's name actually means evening conversations. So it felt really apt that I would do something that is inspired by and, in a way, a tribute to capturing these intergenerational conversations that may be very, very particular to our home. But ha as I've done it now a few, several times, about 26 times, and it's also now on Audible, it seems to chime with people, because it's either them going, aha, we have conversations like that. It's that whole thing about, your generation, my generation, but also, my childhood. I was born in Tanzania. We had crisscross journeys of living in Tanzania, India, Norfolk, London. My children have lived in Wimbledon. They went to the local school, secondary school nearby. So we've had very different childhoods. They are mixed heritage. So my husband is of Pakistani heritage. And I'm of Indian heritage, we're multilingual. So even things like, they'll sort of say, well, you didn't teach us the lingo. Well, what could I have taught you? Because I speak Punjabi, my husband speaks Urdu, we think in English. So it's these kind of snippets that lead to deeper conversations. And that's what I've tried to capture. My children have only experienced one grandparent, which was my mother. So they've had, the Punjabi grandmother, so some culture very organically, but they've absolutely grown up in a white middle class area. Some of the gentle things that come even through discussion about food, so there's a whole section about, me, I've grown up in that kind of make do, so you save your leftovers in ever decreasing, Tupperware. They've grown up with a, oh, I'm just not feeling it today, we'll just Deliveroo something. And this kind of sharing of experiences and yet wanting them to have some of the values, very organically through growing up in a cross-cultural a household. I'm not an average white baby boomer, although I may live in an area where there are plenty of that as well. So there's a whole section about, living in Wimbledon, and then things like going back to India. I do a whole section about that. And my children have experienced that because they went on school trips to visit schools that they fundraise for. But they also came across not getting their visas easily because their dad was born in Rawalpindi, Pakistan. We talk about sort of the inheritance of genetic inheritance and ill health and how my children are trying to combat that through going to the gym. I do yoga. So we have all this kind, they'll be like, well, yoga doesn't keep you fit. So I all these things that I've tried to kind of bottle and give an experience, which I think it does, chime with the different sets of people who are not necessarily Asian. For Asian women of all ages, this seems to be sort of viscerally relevant. People do come and they say, I want to come with my mom, my aunt, and the mothers will come and say, I want to bring my sons. And in fact, I played Riz Ahmed's mum, the actor Riz Ahmed, and he came with his mother. And he does sort of say, she kept on poking me. You've given her so much ammo. I'm delighted when I see that because I've also done it at places like the Women of the World Festival at the South Bank in London, which was a very white audience, done it in community centers. So it's had very diverse audiences, and I cannot wait to come to Bradford. So, I mean, what I've loved about it, and I said I've gently done it the last 3 or 4 years. In 1 year, I might have only done it twice, And then obviously there was COVID. And whenever I have done it, the one thing that is amazing is that people want to stay afterwards and they want to carry on the conversation, you know, which is really lovely because it seems to make people want to think about their own families. And actually, the fact that it's laughter and, you know, I love theatre that is laughter at the edge of tears and tears at the edge of laughter. In a way, this has been a gift because it's not something I planned. It's come really slowly, organically. And I feel like as an actor, I also talk about my career. As a person of color, I turned 60 recently, and I have that triple whammy of being a woman, an older person, brown, you know, and it's like, whoa, all those kind of, what does that mean to be at that fault lines of that? And something like this is me bringing my full self into the room. I am the original Usha Gupta, and in fact, I got the most press coverage I've ever had in my life because it was in all the newspapers as first non-white person to be in the Archers, you know, in I think what was then like 40 years of the Archers. But all of that is my real, you know, my career. You know, Evening Conversations is part of my real career. You know, I talk about that as well a little bit. There's a term now, slasher. So I'm an actor slash playwright slash fundraiser slash producer, because the one unifying thing that you know, I've really had to take charge of my own career and make my own opportunities. You know, as the co-founder of Tamasha Theatre Company, we've not only myself and Christine Landon Smith, who directed Evening Conversations, you know, in this iteration, she and I, you know, we commissioned other writers. It was Tamasha still is going. It's our legacy. It's the place where people found, you know, they could be uniquely themselves and make their best work. And I now have a company called Butcher Boulevard. So I continue to like Evening Conversations wouldn't happen if I hadn't just done it through no funding initially, and then slowly, now it's a known product, I hope, and has a bit of a journey that people want it and keep wanting it, I hope.
Do you think that you were pigeonholed about being a woman of color of a certain age into taking certain roles which were restricting you?
Well, I mean, the thing is, it's like my children, and funnily enough, in Evening Conversations, you know, and this came from a real, you know, my sons will say, "You're the one with the identity crisis, Mum, not us." And actually, having that hurled at me, I've realized, actually, I don't have an identity crisis. You know, I revel in all the layers of my, I'm so glad I had that upbringing of higgledy-piggledy because I speak the languages, I know who I am. But it's the outside world that might look at you and go, "Oh, you're now turning into this sort of older woman." You know, I had an incident on the bus in Wimbledon the other day, and I was reminded starkly that people can look at me and go, "Oh, maybe you don't know what to do with your bank card and you don't speak English." Or so in terms of my work, I see who I am as absolutely relevant and essential to my work. And I don't feel pigeonholed by myself. But definitely, you know, the outside world. I don't mind playing Asian women. You know, again, I talk about how I go up for roles and they're all called Mum, you know, because Asian women don't have our own names. But when you do get those roles, you know, you make each of them unique and you bring yourself to, is this person from Pakistan? Are they Muslim? Do they speak Urdu? You know, does this person, you know, is she a middle class woman who's really sophisticated? So I like to do that. But definitely, our stories are not told frequently enough. They're not told with, you know, characters like my age and do not seem to have rich interior lives. So we're often there to kind of further the narrative of white characters, you know. And then it becomes, you become this kind of spokesperson for people.
And it's whether you like it or not, that
I
is.
mean, I take my responsibility. You know, I have been in here 40 years, and you know, I am an inadvertent pioneer, and people do sort of see, like, okay, you've carved this path, so maybe I can carve a path, and that's great.
Fantastic. Well, we look forward to having you in Bradford, and we hope, Suda, that you enjoy your time in Bradford.
I'm sure I'll be delighted. The whole lineup just looks amazing. I want to immerse myself in the festival.